Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Dr. James Maronko, our senior global pastor, had a dream / vision. A dream is when you're sleeping, a vision when you're awake. So he can't remember which one it was. If it was a dream or a vision, and I understand that. Anybody understand that? Sometimes you're like, I don't know which one it was. And in that dream, in that vision, he's standing before the very throne of God. His life is over. He's standing before the throne. And the Lord says to him, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? His response in this dream / vision is, I didn't have the resources and money. I didn't have the people. I couldn't plant all those churches. I couldn't do it. I didn't have the ability to do it. And the Lord spoke to him and said, oh, son, didn't your God help you if you only tried? If you were to define King's Cathedral and chapels around the world, over 600 different locations now, internationally and nationally, that would define us. We do everything we can to obey the voice of the Lord. We with all this power that works so mightily in us, we move forward, and God shows up in power and provides and moves and raises up people, and he's going to continue to do that. That vision / dream had a big impact on me the first time I heard it, and it's almost become mine. And then I had my own dream, which I said in the first service, I'll say it again, as I've gotten older and I'm like, I feel like I'm 25, but I'm not. And I'm going to go for 120 years preaching, praying, prophesying. I have no intention on getting old. Old is an attitude of your heart, your mind, your spirit. But I do have more dreams. So maybe I'm middle-aged. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. I have both as God releases those. But what's been a pattern for me here, and you're sitting in a miracle of this building with the efforts of great sacrifice and people praying and believing, but this whole project was saved over and over and over through dreams. And the pattern of the past 10 years now has been, I'll get visited by God, I'll wake up after the dream, the power of God is in my room, and I'll say it this way, the measure of the anointing, the measure of the power of God, the measure of the presence of God in my room emphasizes the importance and level of the revelation in the dream. So some have more weight than others. This dream is the strongest dream I've ever gotten by God's presence in my room afterwards and during. My dream is this. I'm standing in the earth, and I can see multitudes of people. It's the entire population of the earth is what I would define it as. Endless, a sea of people, curvature of the earth. And I realize it's over. It's over. My life's over. Time is done. It's over. And I have just one moment before that. And I remember checking my spirit, checking myself, God, are we good? And from that, I then saw a bright, burning light from the east come across the earth, and we're gone. Now, I don't know if that was a rapture. I don't really know what that was. I just knew time on earth was over, along with multitudes of other people. It was over. I am then in heaven, and not like anything you might have read about, different. But let me say, whatever dream, whatever vision you have, you always weigh it by the word. If it's, you don't reinvent, come on, God's not going to give you a set of golden glasses and you're going to write your, you know, the pearl of great price, some new book now that everybody can obey. That's wrong. That's heresy. It's a cult. I can't find the golden glasses that arrived in 1800 by a spirit of moron or whatever it was. God will, when God gives you dreams, you weigh it according to the word. If it's outside the word, then you just flush that. So all of that I'm telling you fits within the understanding of eschatology and the word of God. I'm standing in this place And I see like choir risers. I see all of these people, and assignments are being given out for the millennial reign. Now, many people think that when you're dead, when you die, then you just get a pair of wings and a gold harp and a diaper and you fly around heaven. That is totally unbiblical. That is not what happens. As much as some people want to have golden wings or golden harps and wings and diapers, that's, I've seen enough diapers. Actually, I'm ready to see a few more, I suppose. I certainly don't want to wear one. And if you do, you need to be set free. At any rate, you will have a job to do in the millennial reign. You actually have assignments given in the end. And so I see these assignments being given, and an angel has this pearl, like a pearl of glory. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but the angel pushes this pearl at me, and it comes with increasing power and goes into my spirit, and I wake up. The Lord spoke to me and said, son, the end is the beginning. The end is the beginning. And as I prayed and spent time with the Lord over this past week, and I felt impressed to share with you, the end is the beginning, to have a clear understanding of that, because your life counts. Pretty intense message. If you're here with us for the first time and it just really is kind of intense for you, come back at least two or three times. Make sure you're picking the right church. Stand up on your feet, take your Bibles and turn 1 Corinthians chapter 3, New International Version, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3, 10. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's read God's word. We stand in honor of it. Here we go. According to the grace of God given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay except that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day, everybody say the day will declare it, because it'll be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. He'll receive a what? A reward. Verse 15, final verse. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Father, thank you for what you've done, the testimonies, the healing in the first service, miracles in the first service, miracles in this service. Thank you for prophetic words that have gone forth. We ask, Holy Spirit, have your way. Do whatever you want to do. Move in great power. May we be marked. May you write on the fleshly tablets of our heart, God. Release joy, release hope, release a sober view of where we're at, the time in which we live, and how important our lives are in it. And we thank you, and we praise you. If you have the freedom to pray in the Holy Ghost, you pray in your prayer language, go right ahead and do it now. Thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, you have notes with you. Could have probably broken this into a series, but decided not to. Hebrews 6 and 1 says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. How many have been to elementary school? Most people. We're starting one. Amen. It starts here in just a couple weeks, goes through third grade. We will then add on additional grades and then go ahead and add the high school. We already have a university, King's School of Ministry, 2-year Bible school accredited, but we're excited about the school that's starting. If you haven't put your little ones in there yet, do it. And it's most likely that we'll have to build a building. I believe that the Lord showed us we'll have 500 students. There's a moral outcry. People just don't want to put their kids in elementary school with the, you know, the queer story hour and all that. And I wouldn't want to do that either. Listen, we love people. But we're going to call a spade a spade, and you can't pick your gender. You're not God. You can't pick your gender however you're born. That's it. Everybody say that's it. If you have confusion, with all jokes and sarcasm aside, we will absolutely help you. And if you know anybody that needs help, that needs to be set free, you let us know and we'll connect you and set you free. We're glad you're here. Hebrews 6, 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. So he begins to list some things here that are from elementary school. These are elementary principles in Jesus. Now, here's the thing that's kind of challenging this morning. As I read through these, you might not know what that means, which means you've got to go back to elementary school. You need to understand some of what I'm about to read. And we teach it, we preach it, but you can get in our foundations class and learn. Don't just stay ignorant. Ignorance is not bliss. Elementary principles, Christ, go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, number one. Faith towards God, number two. Of doctrines of baptisms, number three. Of the laying on of hands, number four. Number five, resurrection of the dead. And eternal judgment, number six. There's six elementary principles talked about here that most people have no idea what they even mean. But after this morning, and I'm dealing with eternal judgment, you'll have understanding. He said, oh God, are you a hellfire church? Is there any other kind? Honestly, if you don't have a revelation of hell, you won't have really a revelation of heaven. I'm not going to talk so much about hellfire, but if your view of the judgment of God is one of like fire and disappointment and difficulty, you don't really understand what the judgments are. Now it is that case. There's five different eternal judgments. I'm just going to talk about one of them. I'm going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment seat of the believer. Five eternal judgments. Let's whip through it. I'm in your notes. Are you ready? Okay, the judgment of believers. 2 Corinthians 5:10. And it's the judgment seat of Christ. Same thing happens after the rapture, during the tribulation period. If you study that out. Number two, the second judgment. Everybody thinks it's like, oh, the day of judgment. The day of judgment, there's five judgments. There's five. Everybody say there's five. Come on, bump your neighbor and say there's five, bro, sis. The judgment of the Gentile nations, Matthew 25. The third one, judgment of national Israel. You'll find that in Daniel 9. I should go back, these Gentile nations, Matthew 25. There is... it has yet to be judged whether America would be a sheep nation or a goat nation. Matthew 25, 31 to 46 talks about that. I sincerely hope and pray, have pledged my life to see America turn back to God. I'm a patriot. Any other patriots? This is the most important election cycle, I think, in my lifetime. It's so very important. And did you know that most Christians never vote? They don't vote. You have a right, a responsibility, I should say, responsibility before God to vote. He said, well, in Alaska, it doesn't even matter because y'all shovel by the time you get, zip it and fulfill your responsibility as a patriot. He said, I don't like America. Move. Go away. Go somewhere else. And I promise you, come back kissing the ground. Anybody that really doesn't like America has never gone anywhere. I'm going to go over here. Anybody that really doesn't like the United States of America has never traveled anywhere. I did a bunch of traveling when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. I literally kissed the ground when I came back. Judgment of Gentile nations, 25. That's number two. Number three, judgment of national Israel. These are the different judgments, five types of eternal judgments. National Israel. Israel will be judged. And the purpose is to bring Israel to repentance and faith in Jesus. There's going to come the fullness of the Gentiles, and Israel will be spurred to jealousy. And then God will release through Israel, listen to me, 144,000 Jewish evangelists all over the world. My goodness. Judgment of the wicked dead. Everybody say wicked dead. Not it's dead, it's wicked dead. Fallen angels, demons. Final judgment of Satan, his angels cast him in the lake of fire. And then fifth, the great white throne of judgment. The great white throne. So the judgment seat is a place of rewards. There's different types of eternal rewards. Everybody say there's different types of eternal reward. There's different types. I made a list of some of them, but I think there's 18 that Jesus listed in the book of Revelation. I just listed a few of them. It's very important to understand that you as a believer are going to stand before God, as in Dr. Morocco's dream, and you're going to have to give an account for your life. You say, I don't like that. I know. But the judgment seat, I said in the first service, it's like the Olympics. It's nothing like the Olympics, but the Olympics have this place where you stand and receive a medal, gold medal, silver medal, bronze, silver bronze. It's a place where God rewards you. Listen, I can hear this in the spirit. I'm going to correct it. You're saved by grace. All you have to do, believe. You believe, and it'll be accredited unto you as righteousness. You believe that Jesus died. You believe that he rose again. You repent of your sin. You're forgiven. That's not earning it. It's faith. It's not works. You can't earn it. It's by faith. It's grace that you're saved. However, everybody say, however, you're rewarded by what you do. You're saved by grace, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, but the rewards, the judgment is based upon your actions. I never liked that. When I first heard it, I thought, ugh, I don't like that. I just want God to do it all. And maybe back then I wanted the diaper and the harp. That is not the way it is. So are you telling me right now that I'm going to stand before God to give an account for my life? Yes. So that kind of freaks me out. Well, don't let it freak you out. Different kind of heavenly rewards. Resurrected body. Isn't that great? You're not going to have to be on carnivore anymore. You don't have to be on keto, paleo, low carb. You just get a glorified body. I'm convinced that mine's shredded, just totally ripped. Somebody said, no, that's not the thing in heaven. Fat is the thing. And everybody's going to be like 500 and 600 pounds. It just, you won't have to worry about it. I don't know, but you get a glorified body, a resurrected body. You get garments. Now, this is rather profound, this garment thing. It's lots of scripture for it. Revelation 3, 4 through 5, Revelation 3:18, Revelation 19. Let me just read these. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. It's a picture of your righteous acts, but there's different kinds of garments. I mean, you can really go off and study this. You say, what does that make a difference? Well, I think you can go down some rabbit hole and lose your mind on it. I've seen people do that with the book of Revelation, but it's important to know that there's rewards. There's rewards for a job well done. There's rewards. God rewards you. He blesses you. Authority is another one. Luke 19, 17 through 19. Because you were faithful in very little, have authority over these 10 cities. There is authority that'll be released. Do you know that in heaven, in the millennial reign, some people are going to function and flow in greater authority than others? Well, that's not fair. It has nothing to do with fair. It has everything to do with how you live now. You're in an internship. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, bro, you're in an internship. Wow, that's kind of intense. Resurrected body. You get these tough drips garment. Fresh looking threads. You get authority. Praise. You get praise. Praise, it's an affirmation. God's like, well done. That's praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. You don't only get that, you get crowns. I mean, there's all kinds of crowns. Crowns of rejoicing. There's a winner's crown. There's an overcomer's crown. There's a martyr's crown. That's got to be really sweet looking. How do you get that? You give up your life for the gospel. Somebody said, I'm going to be a martyr. Well, you got to carry your cross. I love how people say, like, I'm going to be a martyr for God. But you can't tithe. I'm pretty sure you'll deny him when that time comes. If you can't give 10 cents on a dollar, or you can't pick up your cross and follow him, how are you? I'm going to encourage myself. I'll be right back. Amen, Pastor. Amen. I mean, how are you actually going to really not deny the Lord when you have to put your head on a block, possibly? There's treasures. There's communion. or communion with God will vary according to how our spiritual capacity, to how we've lived. And Jesus rewards some by writing the Father's name on them. Not everybody gets the Father's name on them. You're like, dude, I want the Father's name. Then live in such a way that you would receive it. It's not for everybody. The Bible talks about those who differ in glory, just as different stars. And Corinthians talks about that, how one star is brighter than another. So it is in glory with believers. Not everybody received the martyr's crown. Not everybody receives, you know, an increase of authority. Some are just not living for another age. They're living for right now. Their principles of their life are based upon worldly success. Why are you saying this? Because this is the end is the beginning. I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you. I know it's an intense pastoral word, gonna flow in fire tonight. Preaching and teaching on the anointing, don't miss tonight. Lay hands on everybody, it's gonna be fire. But I felt so strongly to help you to drop a plumb line of God's word on your life to see that where you're at, who you living for. Let's look at the text. I think the first thing to ask here is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because again, we're not saved by works, you're saved by grace. But then when you really understand that, you're going to live different. I said in the first service, I've said it many times before, I've had people that have prayed the sinner's prayer 100 times and they say to me, I mean, that's exaggerating. Literally, Pastor, I prayed that 10 times and nothing happened. My answer to you, if that's you, and my answer to this young man was, that's because you didn't repent. It's not just a formula. I believe Jesus died on a cross, rose again from the grave. I confess my sins to him. Come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. No, that's not how it works. That's just the sinner's prayer is something that we've, you know, kind of formulated based upon scripture. It's repentance of deep godly sorrow, realizing that your sin crucified Christ along with mine, but you take personal responsibility and you're born again. He takes out the heart of stone. He puts in the heart of flesh and he makes you new. You become a new creature, a new creation in Christ. And if you've not experienced a new creation and you prayed that prayer like 12 times, it's because you didn't repent, hon. Brother, sister, Bubba, Jethro, you didn't repent. Oh, but if you'll give your life to him, what will happen is he will transform you. He will renew your mind like he did for Minister Tommy. Blown up, wasted life. God rescued him, delivered him, like he's done for me. You come in this place and have no brains, and God will give you brains. How do you know that? Because apparently that happened for me. I heard doctor preaching for 30-something years, and I think it was 10 years ago I finally asked him. Here's what he would say. One of my pastors, God's using him mightily. When he got here, he was brain damaged. His brain was burnt. And I'm thinking, who's he talking about? Because, you know, we all know each other. And so, you know, who's he talking about? So finally, 10 years ago, after hearing it for how many years, I said, you know, doctor, when you talk about that staff guy, the pastor, yeah, who had his brains blown, who was that? He says, it's you. I said, what? He says, oh, yeah. I'm like, no, my brain wasn't. He says, yes, it was. And so I talked to one of my longtime pastoral buddies who's been around this whole time period. I said, no way. He says, dude, yeah, totally. So I asked somebody else, oh, yeah, no, your brain was fried. I'm like, wow, I guess I got a brains now. If you will come to Christ with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, repent, give your life to him. He will set you free. He will deliver you. He will put his spirit on the inside of you. He will use you as a trophy of his grace. He'll use you to heal the sick and set the captives free. There's nothing that you can't do by the power of the anointing. Don't receive what others say about you. Receive and believe what the word says. Come on, is anybody in Christ? Shout to God with a voice of triumph. You're an ambassador. You're a minister of reconciliation. God's called you, chosen you, and appointed you. He chose the Apostle Paul as a chosen vessel. Well, he's chosen you. He's chosen me. John 15 picked me, selected me. Quit agreeing with every lie from hell. And the way that you live is what you believe. You must be ready for the end. There is coming an end. The judgment seat of the believers. Verse 15. Our works matter. What are works? I've heard that in scripture before. What are works? I've heard of water works. Not only am I talking about water works, works consist of two things. Words, deeds. Words and action. Words. Your words matter. Come on, somebody say, my words matter. Matthew 12 and verse 36, but I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they'll give an account of it in the day of judgment. Matthew 12 and verse 37, for your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Words are not just sounds. Words have power. When God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke. He did what? He spoke. Understand that your words, you decree a thing, it says in Job, it shall be established. Your words have power. And if you're speaking curses, you're going to be, you know, you're cursing somebody, you're speaking hatred. The only way the devil can speak in this church is by using your mouth. You should be on God's building crew and not on the devil's wrecking crew. Come on, speech has the power to release grace. Ephesians talks about that. Let your words be seasoned with grace. That you can literally speak and release life and power. Words have
sticks and stones may break my bones, but
sticks and stones. Words will never hurt me. No, words will hurt you and they'll curse you. Some of you have curses spoken over you by your parents. Don't you ever tell your children, how come you can't be like your sister? How come you can't be like your brother? Oh, you're just like your mother's side of the family. Bunch of rebellions, people. No, you're good for nothing. You're good for nothing. Shut your mouth. Raise your hands to heaven and say, Jesus, help me with my mouth. This young man was a missionary down in South America somewhere, and they had all these parrots. And his uncle was Cuban. And I think it was Cuban, I don't know. He lived in Florida. So this young missionary got a parrot and sent it to his uncle and shipped it to him, paid all kinds of costly fees and so on and so forth. So it arrives just before the holidays during Thanksgiving. And he's not able to get communication to him. Eventually, they're able to talk. And so the young missionary says to his uncle, how'd you like the bird? He said, oh, it was delicious. And the kid says, what? Uncle, it spoke like five languages. I mean, it was the most amazing bird. It was so beautiful. He said, well, it should have said something. Some of you don't experience God's power because your mouth is all lined up with the devil and you'll be judged for it. Come on, your mama taught you, my mama did on the third row, taught me, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. I would add to it, stop saying unnice things and start speaking God's word. Start speaking truth. Start declaring victory. Some of you are wallowing because your mouth. Deeds or actions, Romans 2, 6, he'll render each according to his deeds. Matthew 16, 27, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he'll reward each person according to what he's done. I don't know if you're anything like me when I first started reading these things and studying this years ago. I'm just thinking, like, that's kind of intense. That means I'm accountable for my actions. There is a day where you and I will stand before the Lord to give an account. And you know what that means? It means that every second of your life is worth living for, that every decision you make, and say, I'm totally freaked out. I just want to stay at home and live in a box. No. Start living for God. Start making declarations of his word. Start living by faith, because you'll stand before God for it and he'll empower you. Did you further the kingdom? Did I further the kingdom? Verse 11 and 12, for no other foundation can anyone lay which is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. The end of your life, you'll be asked and evaluated for whether you made your life count. I sense profoundly, and you know, this might be for just one person. I've been pastoring for, I don't know, a long time, 25 years. Been in the church for 30. 32. And I just know that a year from now, some of you won't be here. I know a year from now, some of you will have graduated. And let me ask you, when you stand before him, how will that be? It's a sobering thing. We're going to take communion here in just a little bit. When we do, Paul says to examine yourself so that you don't drink judgment on yourself. You should see what I'm looking at right now, Pastor Stan. People just totally freaked out. They're like, I wanted to hear something encouraging. This is encouraging. Wouldn't you like the beat down before you stand there before him? Wouldn't you like everything exposed before you're actually standing there? Wouldn't you like God to speak to you and encourage you and tell you so that you can be like, ooh, I need to change that. Yes. Again, be sure to come two or three more times just in case you're thoroughly offended right now. Everything will be tested by fire, verse 13. Your works will be exposed. Your motives will be seen. Works are actions. Motives are why you do those actions. Why did you help that person? Why did you give that money? Why did you do that thing? Sometimes people have motives to gain power. I mean, we're seeing all kinds of political nonsense right now. People are doing things to it's just such a swamp. And people do things to curry favor and to hold things over each other, their motives or power. It'll all be revealed on the day. Aren't you glad that it's going to be revealed on the day? I am. Come on, if you've got any motive inside of you that's not of God, would you ask God to reveal it to you so you can remove it? Did you take advantage of God-given time? Motives will be seen. Did you take advantage of God-given time? My. You'll be judged by what you were given and how well you used it. You know what's encouraging to me? I'm not going to be judged by the gifts and talents of somebody else. And for the longest time, I was under bondage of comparison. I would see somebody preach and be like, oh, man. I even tried to be like T.D. Jakes. How many of you know that'd be pretty difficult? Because I am white, number one, so that's a big minus. Can't change the color of my skin. And I'm glad I was born the way I am. I tried to preach like him. You can take one scripture and just kind of blow it up. He used to was a hero of mine in the early stages. I tried to walk like Dr. Morocco. And I remember the Lord said, well, you know, like, what are you doing? You're your own anointed you. No one can carry what you carry. You be who I created you to be, and don't worry about it. And it took me a while to break free of comparison. Now, you've been given gifts and talents that other people might not have. And if you look and say, well, he has more talents than me, just stop. God created you the way he created you. And here's the other thing. He'll expand your capacity. I love what Pastor Alex says. You can do more than you think you can. You know, some of you are not using your capacity, so you'll never be given more. You're shorting him. And I don't want you to be shorted. Listen, if you're not going to go for it with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, when you stand before the throne, just don't tell him you came to my church, all right? It's a joke. Gosh, there's so much for us. By what you did, by opportunities that were given you. Did you do the will of God, or did you do it according to the world's view of success? Years ago, I was on my way to Washington, D.C. President Obama was the president at that time. And I got an opportunity to go with John Hagee, Dr. Morocco. I was going to be with them as an armor bearer on the same floor at the hotel and meet senators. And I'll never forget it. I had people saying, oh, you're going to go and win Obama to Christ. And got ready to go. As I'm booking my plane ticket, all the peace of God leaves me. I'm typing in the credit card and I lose my peace. Now, if you lose your peace, you better just pump your brakes and wait. And I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to buy that ticket. So I let a day go by. I try again the second day. Same thing happens. Third day, finally, the Lord speaks to me and says, you're not going. You're not going. And he begins to reveal to me the tremendous worldly overlay on my life as a pastor. I have dreams, and he just begins to come upon me with fresh revelation. I had dreams, and I would hear my own voice. Oh, if I have to pastor a church of 150 people, I'm going to sell real estate or cars or something, but I'm not doing that. I had this arrogance, a prideful overlay, and I saw myself as real success in ministry, as pastoring a mega church and doing all of this stuff, all for the glory of God. And I remember the Lord visiting me. I woke up, and there he is talking to me and says, all for the glory of God, son. I said, yeah. He says, all for the glory. I said, yeah, all for the glory. All for the glory. Mike. Because he was saying, yeah, it's for my glory, but you want some. I got so rebuked. The trip got canceled, and it opened a tremendous healing. There's so many ministries and so many people have an overlay of success as marked by what the world is, how many likers, how many followers, how many things you got going on. None of that matters. And I'm all for influencing and I'm all for doing everything that God called us to do, but our identity needs to not be in the fact that demons are subject to us in your name. Our identity is in Christ. And the success that is the greatest success you'll ever have. And out of that, God healed me, took me apart, some repentance. God, I wept, I cried, had people to pray for me, and he shifted things for me. I never said those kind of things again. It was at that time, it was years ago, it was at that time that this church went straight up. God, Lord says, okay, now that your identity is not connected to reaching people, now I'm going to bless you. And literally, you can see a graph, and it goes straight up from that time. You remember that, Pastor Karen? So many people have a worldly overlay of success. Don't do it. The real test is on the day. The day. How'd you judge others? Am I right in your notes? How'd you judge others? And the Lord will save us. Aren't you glad that he's going to save us? He saves us based upon his finished work, but he intervenes in our life, and I'm so grateful. We're grateful. We're not robots. We have a choice. You have a choice. God doesn't make you obey him. You choose to obey him. The glory of man is called choice. In the garden, the glory of man is Adam and Eve's free will to be able to choose to disobey God or not disobey him or obey him. Love is not in a vacuum. And God doesn't just take us like the deist would think to just wind us up and then turn us loose and stand off and just watch it work. No, he created you. He created me. He created the world and the seasons, aeons. He created it all, but he's actively involved and he partners with you when you obey him. If you can believe God, if you can move in faith, if you can stand on his word, if you'll be fully persuaded that nothing will be impossible for you. You can take cities. You can take nations. You can raise the dead. You can heal the sick. You can set the captives free. But if you have a distortion in your belief system, you'll stand before God for that, but he wants to correct it. That's why he'll bring this bald preacher to get up in your face on this very pastoral, teachy type word. You have a choice. We're not robots. He'll reward us, verse 15. I like that. I want whatever God wants to give me. It's his way of saying, thank you for turning the other cheek. Thank you for going the extra mile. There's rewards. Come on, how many of you want everything that God has for you on the day? This is an internship. 70, 80, however years you live, that's an internship. And then, as the Lord spoke to me, the end is really the beginning. So live your life that way. Let me close as they're preparing communion. Make your life count. Make your life count. I think we might be surprised when we get there to see the rewards being passed out. Those who would seemingly receive some big reward, maybe they'll suffer loss. I don't know what that is. One person said that proximity to the throne is one of the rewards. I think that might be true. Sons of thunder, mother, just like a mama. I want my one son to sit on your right and the other one on your left. He said, that's not for you to decide. But there is a right and a left. There is a place of promotion, elevation at the throne. Wow. Make your life count. Come on, somebody say, make your life count. Say this, say, I'm going to make my life count. I declare to you that their days of wasted years are over and that the Lord is going to restore all the years that the locust has taken. I prophesy over you today, Joel 2 and 25, that I will restore, says the Lord, all the wasted years, all the lost years. I will make up for lost time. Put your hand to the plow and see the success and victory that comes as you decree my word, as you take your thoughts captive, as you obey and move forward, the reward ahead, the best is yet to come. Move in faith. Faith is confident assurance of what you cannot see. Another way to say faith, Hebrews 11, is obeying God's word. Obeying God's word. Abraham in Romans 4 is talked about. His body was dead, Sarah's wife's body was dead, and yet he had a promise that more numerable will his descendants be. Abraham, father of many, basically has no child except Ishmael. And yet he had to introduce himself, my name is Abraham, father of many. He believed God against all hope. In hope, he believed God. He was fully persuaded that God was able to do it even though his body was dead. That is the key for moving forward in faith. What has God said? Faith is based on what God's word is. What did God say? Presumption presumes that God said it, but actually doesn't have a word. Some say there's 30,000 promises in the word. Another person says 8,000. Another person says 5,000. I don't know. I haven't counted them all, but it's a lot. And if you'll get the promise for whatever the situation is and you begin to stand on that and be fully persuaded, then that thing will come to pass against all hope. In other words, when you look at circumstances and you look at Abraham looked at his life, how old he was, against hope, against all his circumstances, he believed in hope that God would bring it to pass. Speaking things into existence by faith. Move in faith. In what area? Every area. Get involved in the harvest. Everybody say, get involved. Do something. Start serving. Get involved somewhere. If you don't serve, you'll be distorted in your discipleship. You have to serve. It's important. And there's lots of places to serve, in the church, out of the church. Very important. Get involved. We will see more souls come to Christ this next 5 months than we've ever seen. Our goal is 5,000 souls for the year. We're moving towards that rapidly. How's that happen? By you inviting people, reaching people, communicating to people. Invite them to Anchorage August 24th. Be a part of it. Be a part of the harvest. We'll have 200 life groups by the end of this year. How's that going to happen? Well, the same way that we had 104. Why is it so important and why are you counting? Well, numbers are important to God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have written a book called Numbers. And it's souls. It's leaders. The more leaders you release, the more people you reach. Let me say this to you. For every one leader you release, you'll have 3.5 people in your church. So take the measurement of how large your church is or your ministry online. Got lots of pastors that watch. Take the size of your church, divide it by 3.5. That's how many people you have serving. You can do it. Some of you have a tremendous gift of leadership, tremendous gift of hospitality. You could open your home and put a life group in it. You could serve in some capacity. So many people don't. Well, you'll be judged for that. Are you trying to scare me? Yeah, totally. I'm also trying to prepare you for when you stand there. The best is yet to come.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.